Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Robin McCarron.
Breaking news, the rating for Raw is likely to fall at 2.7 or 2.8. Sting versus Flair did a 5.4.
Jeff Hawkins.
This is a joke. I'm going to kick your butt once I get bail. I'm gonna come after you.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
There ain't no stopping us now. We celebrate on the floor. Top down, we're ready to go. To all the people across every nation, turn it up and give me some more. Balloon Guy! Hey kids, do you like professional wrestling? Well, we like professional wrestling too. This is Shake Them Ropes. I am Jeff Hawkins. Chris Novembrino traveling this week. So answering the call. If you want to blame somebody for the bane of existence that I am in wrestling audio, the man who first took a younger Jeff Hawkins made of clay and sculpted him into the horrible audio presence he is now, the creator of Shake Them Ropes, Rob McCarron. Hi, Rob.
I cannot believe you are blaming me for discovering you. Like, don't throw me under the bus like that. What you have become is under your own powers and not my fault. But hey, it is great to be here on Shake Them Ropes. I'm glad the streak is alive. I've never missed an episode, and I'm happy to continue that streak as we go in to discuss AEW Full Gear or whatever the hell's going on in wrestling these days.
Do you watch any wrestling these days, or are you just watching this?
Oh, of course I do. First of all, I've never missed an episode of Dynamite. I mean, come on. It's so great. Although over the last year, and maybe we'll talk about this at some point, just the momentum shift that has been the rise of WWE again and the fall of AEW. Yeah. And obviously those are grandiose terms that aren't really reflective of what's happening, but just the momentum shift over the last year has been incredible to watch. But I look forward to Wednesday nights. I have definitely watched the last few months of Raw, maybe just the last month and a half.
Yeah,
I'm one of those.
The last month and a half has been different. Yeah.
It's been different. There's been stuff to see to where it's like, okay, there's enough stuff to see. I might as well just watch like the whole show and maybe start it an hour late and kind of skip through commercials and skip through some stuff. I mean, 3 hours is a long time still to devote every Monday, but I'm not like an NFL watcher to the extreme to where Monday nights, no, it's Monday Night Football. I can't watch anything else. Even though I'm strangely excited about this week's Thursday game, which I can say is probably the first time ever in the history of my life that I'm excited for a Thursday night NFL game. But I've been watching Raw. I don't watch SmackDown live, but I try to catch up on the moments because what Sami Zayn is doing right now is incredible. What Roman has been doing the last 2 years is great. I've probably been watching it more so lately than I have since I left Shake Them Ropes.
My brother is at the Thursday night game tonight. He is a season
your brother.
He is a season ticket holder of the Kansas City Chiefs. He ran into. He flies out from DC to go to the games.
Really? So on a Thursday he's flying from DC to go to a Chiefs Chargers game.
Yeah, he can do his job from anywhere. So it's one of those things. Mm-hmm. Ran into former Chiefs kicker Nick Lowry. And he just goes, guess who this is? I go, I have no idea, Chris. I know you're just taking random photos.
I don't know. I don't know if there is an NFL kicker right now that I would be able to pick out of a lineup and say, hey, this is the kicker. Like, I don't know what Greg Zuerlein looks like without the helmet on. I don't, I, I think I might be able to pick Rodrigo Blankenship, but I can't even say he's an NFL kicker now.
He's not an NFL kicker anymore.
Good riddance. So I just don't know. Like maybe Mike Vanderjet, is that still his name? Like the Colts, the idiot Colts
Drunken
kicker.
Idiot kicker. That's
the idiot kicker might be the only one I could pick out of a lineup, and he's been out of the league for 20 years or whatever it is. So no, I'm not picking any of them out of a lineup. I just can't do it.
I have three questions pertaining to you.
Three. Oh my gosh.
Three
okay.
to you. The first, because people drop and go ask this all the time, and I don't have a direct answer. People do ask about you, Rob, and they want to know what you're doing with your life right now.
Well, I'm just out there putting on the good fight, trying to restore Trump as president king. And it's not going well at the moment. It's not going great.
Shake the Rose has been canceled because Rob came on and said
Well, I mean, honestly, ropes need to be shaken. Ropes need to be shaken more. No, I don't know. It's like the age old tale, right? Is I got married and other things took the front focus of my life. So I had to, I just stopped watching wrestling as much. And then I felt I shouldn't be talking about it because I wasn't watching it as much.
Those were some phenomenal shows, by the way, when you weren't watching wrestling.
When I wasn't watching it. Yeah, yeah. When I would show up for 20 minutes of SmackDown and then try to extrapolate like everything that would have happened. Like watching 3-minute YouTube clips became too hard because it was just too much time. I mean, it's the same reason why like I was a pretty big, when it was Nitro, when it was Impact, when it was WWE, like I'll watch all the shows. I'll watch Raw and SmackDown, I'll watch Nitro and Thunder. Mm-hmm. And then I was watching Impact and it was easier because it was Impact and then Raw and SmackDown. AEW, Dynamite, Rampage. I'm watching Dynamite regularly. Rampage is usually on the DVR. SmackDown, it's the important moments. And then Raw, I've been watching it live more lately. It's hard to watch everything. There's just too much.
Yeah.
And not even too much. There's so much, which is good for a lot of folks. And if your style is not American wrestling, then there's international wrestling you could be watching. And there's plenty of people out there that still would prefer to watch Impact and kind of see the guys that aren't in the mainstream right now. It's just, there's a lot of stuff and, life gets in the way to where I'm not going to be an expert on what's happening with AEW Dark storylines. I'm True. Just not, and I'm probably not going to catch AEW Dark and AEW Dark Evolution and Elevation rather. I'm sorry, Big Show Paul White mistake there. Those shows aren't even really for the watch everything crowd either. I mean, those shows exist strictly for the fact that 3 years from now, if Sky Blue makes it big, or any of these people that are on AEW Dark make it big, we have footage of them. If anyone goes to the other company, we have footage of them. It's great and it's smart to like get as much content as you can, try to make a little bit of your money back with YouTube ads or whatever the case may be, but have all this library to where you'll be able to fill a streaming service one day. You might be able to have all these hours of content that you can put on Bleacher Report's app or HBO Max or HBO Discovery, you know, any of these types of apps. It's smart to do it, but those shows really aren't for the watch everything crowd. It's, hey, are you on YouTube? You want to see what's new with Tony Storm? Watch this match against a no-name for 3 minutes, you know?
Have you been keeping up with the indie run of your former favorite wrestler, perhaps current favorite wrestler, one Jeff Jarrett?
So of the podcasts I listen to, okay, I don't listen to a bunch. It's everything, almost everything that Dan Le Batard produces, I try to get. And it's the Jeff Jarrett show. It's My World with Jeff mm-hmm. Jarrett. So I am keeping up with all things Jeff Jarrett.
Okay.
And like, he is so much better now than even 25 years ago when he was my favorite wrestler. And it's not because of his wrestling. It's just, he seems like a really honest guy about what the story is. He doesn't remember a whole lot, which no one does. Sometimes it's so odd listening to that show. And he's talking about something that wrestling fans in general know or remember so clearly that happened 25 years ago, 1997, 1998. We want to get answers from him. He's like, he just promotes the research team and says, I don't recollect it. I just don't recall what was going on.
Montreal screw job. What the hell's that? Never heard
honestly,
of that.
Honestly, everything WWE did, I understand it. It was great. And we went our separate ways. So I'm like, come on, dude. I mean, these are big life moments for you. And maybe they're not. Maybe we as fans, you know, sometimes think a moment is bigger than it really was. Like at the end of the day, Jeff Jarrett left WWE the second time just because he wanted some money and wanted to go to a new place. Like, yeah. That's a big moment for us because, oh, it was crazy news and he showed up on Nitro the day after a pay-per-view. But then it's like, okay, I'm just going to the next city. It's just for a different company this time. But it's here. It's cool to hear his thoughts. I really like him going through like the early days of TNA and whatnot. But I can't say I've watched the GCW stuff.
Oh, it's great. He's great in it, I think.
Too. I bet. No, I'm sure because Jeff Jarrett has been, he's been fun. I mean, obviously the returns of the Royal Rumbles the last couple of years right. Have been hyped. It's very interesting that he's just gone in and out of WWE as much as he has. Like literally it took him, what, 8 years to go in and out of WWE the first go around, and then it took him, you know, 8 months kind of to do it this time.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting to follow along with Jeff Jarrett. It was when you started saying, have I been following my favorite indie wrestler? Like I was trying to think like who is my favorite indie wrestler, because that could mean Alex Shelley, which I mean, the career Alex Shelley has had in the last 4 years when he is basically his career is over. Like he kind of retired from wrestling and went on with his regular life and was like, I'll do some dates here and there. That's why you saw him on the low level indies, the stuff that he could get to on a Saturday and then come home. And now he's like on Impact. He's probably going to do some stuff with New Japan at some point again. He's doing AEW. He was in the NXT tag team. It was a tag team tournament they had in NXT with Kushida that one time.
Yeah.
And he's just been everywhere, man. Like this is a guy that's appeared on AEW. He's probably going to appear in Ring of Honor when whatever happens with Ring of Honor happens. He's probably going to be a part of that for at least a show. Impact WWE. All in the last 5 years is going to be something. But you could have gone with Alex Shelley. You could have gone with Chad Collier. Chad Collier, I have no idea what he's up to these days. I think he's a magician because he hasn't wrestled really in the indies for 15 years. But yeah, you could have gone a long different way. I mean, Randy Orton, like where's Randy Orton at? Like he could be working in the indies and we don't even know right now.
Back injury.
I wish he were. This poor back, man. I hate back injuries because... any baseball fans out there, like back injuries are just the death sentence to like a career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Christian Yelich went from best player in the league to nothing because of his back. Mike Trout, it makes you scared because he has a back injury right now. Like what's he going to be? And then he's like becoming the best player of all time again this year lately. So you never know with back injuries. It's tough. Hulk Hogan. I mean, Hulk Hogan probably could have wrestled for an extra 10 years if his back wasn't in the shape that it was in. And he would have too, if he had the choice.
And particular to your fandom, because well, I mean, your former fandom when you were like in your,
I'll tell you what, I'm still a fan. I've taken, so my wife has come with me to AEW. My wife, this poor girl, bless her, sat through an AEW dark taping at Universal Studios last October for 5 hours. Like, okay, I'm getting the word on the street. These tapings usually last like 2.5-3 hours. And they were advertised, you know, Bryan Danielson was there under a mask and Adam Cole was the main event. Like, okay, let's go. I'm not taking her to too many shows. We're not going to Dynamites or whatever because they're on Wednesday nights. It's tough. And they don't come to Northeast Indiana, right? Like the closest I can get to is a Grand Rapids. So they just don't come this way. So we're in Universal. This was not planned to go to a dark taping. We're in Universal this week. We had this trip planned for a while. And then AEW Dark is taping on one of the Saturdays. I'm like, well, we can go to the park during the day and then go to this taping. 2.5-3 hours, we'll be out of here. And this Tony Khan, you know, mother ever, this guy decides, you know what, this taping that Rob's at, we're gonna go 5 hours and we're gonna hold off.
He knew
Adam
you were
Cole
there
for the very somebody... No, I'm sure he did not. I'm sure no one knew I was there.
Well, this actually wraps in because both you and he were part of the Ring of Honor message board. How do you think that, how do you think they're treating Ring of Honor in AEW vis-a-vis your fandom and former fandom? Would you like to see more? Would you like to see yes? Is it just right?
No, I would love for them to do something with Ring of Honor if he can get a TV deal for a show. But right now, the way it's been, it's cool seeing some of the stars, like the people that you know are going to be in Ring of Honor. It's cool to see Samoa Joe in there. It's cool to see, Jay Lethal, I can leave, and whatever they're going to do with like a Wheel of Yuta type, you know, Daniel Garcia is an ROH champion right now. He's going to be on AEW TV. The problem to me is like, they are sacrificing the AEW titles and what they mean and the TV time and the importance.
Mm-hmm.
by having all these ROH titles. It's cool what Kenny Omega did with the Belt Collector and what FTR is doing with the Triple A championships and the IWGP. Like, it's cool. It's a fun novelty, and it serves a subset of the audience by recognizing the other promotions, by recognizing the other titles, and it's cool to see them come out with them. It's cool to see that they won them on other shows, and it's a fun thing to follow. But you don't have to follow it week by week. Like, I would be completely fine if FTR's a good example, because they come out with the belts and they don't throw it down your face that they are these champions and it's all about, and they're not having like IWGP matches on Dynamite. They're not having AAA matches on Dynamite for the most part. Where the problem is you have Claudio Castagnoli with the ROH title, and every ROH title match is happening on AEW TV. And it's like, okay, here's another title. Right. And then the ROH tag team titles, and then the ROH pure championship and the TV. There are too many championships, and it's distracting. It's distracting for a viewer who wants to pay attention to, like, when AEW started, it was the TNT and it was the AEW championship. And like Cody having the TNT title and Brody Lee having the TV title meant something, and it was important. You wanted to make sure you saw those matches. AEW championship was a big time thing with Hangman Page, with Kenny Omega, obviously with Jon Moxley. But now there's ROH TV and ROH championship and ROH pure, and it's getting in the way of stories in my mind. I would love to have them a show. I would follow along with ROH, but I think you do kind of have to keep ROH and AEW separate, and then maybe have your mega cards every once in a while. And if they're not keeping them separate right now, just because it's a lack of a TV deal, it might be worthwhile and it might be good for the brand if you just still kept them separate. Like, don't have ROH title stuff on. I don't think it helps them just to keep the ROH name alive for an extra few months at the expense of the AEW name.
Okay, cool. Well, news version is a little light, so there might be a little bit more lazy river than normal, but we'll get to it in a moment. Starting off, NXT. If those of you watched the 1 year anniversary of NXT 2.0, saw the death of NXT 2.0. They have dumped the Technicolor Vomit branding and are looking to go back to the black and gold, it looks like. Postmortem on NXT 2.0. I personally thought it was a noble experiment. They were basically going to try and emphasize character over all else in order to help feed to the main roster. I understand a lot of people didn't like it. They have a sneaky good roster. It's not a great roster, but it's a good roster. I'm wondering how the branding affects this now, because I think people's expectations will be going back to pure black and gold, indie, super card takeovers. And the guys aren't at that level yet.
I don't think you're going to see the, it's going to be kind of a hybrid. And one, first of all, it's not as black and it's not as gold.
Right.
Like, the gold is more like when Apple changed their phones from gold to starlight, like, this color is starlight. Like, it's not gold. Okay. So I think it's cool with the branding. Like, it was weird having a logo that had multicolors that were still moving on TV.
Yeah.
Like, the logo to me doesn't matter as much. I'm interested to see what the show looks like.
Yeah.
Cause like, it's cool that it was brighter and it looked like something where there were a lot of people that were interested in. I don't think you have to go back to the completely pitch black arena.
No.
Even though there's something to be said with the black arena, the more focus was on the ring and it was the action in the ring itself. I'm interested to see what the set looks like next week. I don't think you're going to see that much of a change with who's on the show right away. It's not going to be like when one went to 2.0 and you're like, okay, here's a completely different set of characters. And the Kyle O'Reillys and Adam Coles were gone. Johnny Gargano was phased out and it's like a completely new show. I don't think you're getting a brand new show next week with the new black and gold NXT. I think you're getting the same guys. You might see some tweaks to the presentation, but think about it. Shawn Michaels, Road Dogg, whoever's in charge of the show over the last year is still in charge. And these are still characters that they've worked with and still people that they've worked with. It's not like they're going to go into the office one day and be like, okay, scrap everything we did the last year. It's time for a change. You're going to see the same characters. You're going to see a similar show. And I don't know if you're going to see indie card extravaganzas too much in the future, because honestly, what's an indie card extravaganza at this point? There haven't been indies. I know there are prospering independents out there, but the the ROHs of the world are in AEW right now. A lot of the talent that was big on the indie scene 3 years ago is either in WWE or AEW right now. The scene hasn't developed another lower level to where it's like, okay, I want to see these four guys get signed. There's just not those names out there right now.
Actually, so, I think what it's going to be like this last heat wave where it's like the lower tier WWE guys who have had some experience in NXT come back down to fight the up and coming stars, like that Ricochet Carmelo Hayes match. Well, clearly they're pretty darn fantastic.
Clearly they're doing more of that because you've had Apollo go down. Like, it's not going to be a sign of a demotion to like go down to NXT for a little bit, especially if you're not on TV that much, because everyone's on the same page now. Right. Like, if before, you know, 5 months ago, it was a demotion because, okay, Vince can't use you and he's not going to use you, so you're going to go down where Vince doesn't have his hands in it. Right? Right now, I mean, Triple H has his hands in everything. Shawn Michaels has his hands, and you're going to see more. You're going to see more synergy between NXT and Raw and SmackDown. You're going to see characters come up with the names most likely that they're using in NXT. You're going to see them with similar characters probably, because the characters that are eventually going to end up on the main TV are getting developed on NXT. You're not going to go away from what's been developing. Whereas a year ago, it was, okay, Shawn Michaels and Triple H were doing their thing, but I have a different idea for this guy. Let's bring him up, call him Butch. Like, it's just not going to happen as much now. So I like the idea of them being a little bit more synergetic, if that is even a real word. I like that idea. But it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be interesting to watch. But I think if you're expecting like NXT of 2 years ago, especially if you're expecting the NXT of the WWE network era, you're not getting that, nor probably should you be getting that. And takeovers coming back. Cool. I mean, it's going to be called NXT Takeover, whatever. I would love them to start doing NXT and WWE pay-per-view weekends like they had been in the past. I would love them to maybe do on, I know you can't anymore because Wednesday night or Tuesday night is your TV show. But if they ever want to do like a Friday night special after SmackDown on the app, try different things. I know you're always going to get accused of, oh, we're going up against AEW, like All Out weekend when they have two shows all around AEW's All Out. You're going to get accused of stuff, but try some different things. If it's going to be Saturday pay-per-views, if it's going to be Sunday nights after the WWE pay-per-views, like let's get into bigger arenas again. Let's make these guys into, if you're going to keep it a developmental show, just make them a little bit higher tier. So when they show up on Raw and SmackDown, it's an even bigger deal. I'm just waiting to see when Bron Breakker's getting out of there. Right. Because I mean, this guy seemingly has all the potential in the world to be something big on one of the big shows and one of the big pay-per-views. Do you keep putting him on takeovers when there's only so many more WrestleManias in a wrestler's future?
Yeah.
It's going to be fun to see what they do with their own talent now, because it really is the creative VP, Triple H's own talent. It's not two different wings of the company looking after two different shows. It's all one now.
Suspensions from last week in AEW have been lifted for Christopher Daniels, Michael Nakazawa, Brendan Cutler, and Pat Buck. Do you
Thank
have any
God,
lingering
Pat Buck is back.
Do you have any lingering thoughts about the Punk Elite brouhaha that you have not been able to get out, Rob?
I mean, honestly, if you don't even look at the brawl, like if you just look at the press conference that CM Punk gave, like this is a guy you can't give a live mic to. Like if he's going to call out Adam Page, who in theory is still one of your bigger stars, for a nothing segment, Punk doesn't take AEW seriously if he's just allowed to do whatever he wants, if he's allowed to say and call out whoever he wants to just because he feels slighted. Right. This is a guy that said, hey, if you have a problem with me, come to me. And guess what he hasn't done? He hasn't gone to someone if he has a problem with him. So he's living by different standards. You can't trust him with a live mic. The fact that he was doing a press conference and going and saying the things that he was saying about leaders in the company, about people that Tony Khan apparently trusts to run the company, and Tony's just sitting there like shaking his head and agreeing with him. Like if CM Punk is saying this and Tony Khan, you think he's right, then why do you have these folks? Why do you have the Bucks and why do you have Omega as leaders in your company if you think they're incompetent? And if I was an entertainment reporter, a wrestling reporter at that press conference, the first question you ask once CM Punk does that diatribe, which was clearly rehearsed. I mean, this is not me saying anything new. This was clearly rehearsed. He wanted to open his segment with this. He didn't get the intro that he thought he was going to get from Nick Hossman, so he had to like kind of just do it forcefully. But if he's saying this stuff, the first question afterwards is, hey, Tony, do you agree that the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and all your other VPs are incompetent? Like, how are you not asking that of Tony? Because he's here shaking his head at, oh, yeah, Punk, I agree. Like, oh, couldn't run the target? Sure, yeah. It was embarrassing. Before the brawl, CM Punk, like, you have to shut down that stuff.
You have to shut that down.
You have to shut down, whether you shut down the press conference or not. But after the fact, like, first thing I'm doing as Tony is, okay, I'm up and out of here. You know, bring on whoever. I don't even remember who followed CM Punk, but like, Tony, you got to get up and just let this person hang out at the table themselves, or find someone and put someone at the table with them. But you got to get up and like, hey, Mr. Brooks, like, you probably shouldn't say that about, you know, the Masseys, and you probably shouldn't say that about the people I lead and, you know, and have leading this company, and the people who are talking at your talent meetings, you know, 2 weeks ago when there's turmoil and talking at your talent meetings, these guys now aren't around. So yeah, the first thing, all on CM Punk, like, he's done it a few times now where he's just kind of been ridiculous with a live mic. The press conference wouldn't have been as bad because it's not on TV. Right. Like, there's only a certain amount of people that are actually watching this on YouTube. More people are watching it now because of what he said. But if he hadn't have said stuff like that, no one's really watching the YouTube thing.
But so, I think you've brought up a point that nobody else has. And that is that the reporters in the room never went to Tony and said, what do you think of that? Because they were scared to death of losing access.
No, it's the first question is, do you agree with what CM Punk says that leaders in your company are incompetent? Like, do you agree?
And then their credentials are pulled. I mean, that's okay. What happens after that. I know that.
Guess what?
No.
You don't need to be there.
I agree.
I mean, you don't really need to be there. If you want to go there for interviews, you can get interviews at a different arena. Obviously, you can't take part in the interview setup that AEW is doing, but people are there. And then, yeah, you get the question asked. You know what? People are going to watch that moment more than the Keith Lee press conference after the fact.
It's softball questions. How do you feel about facing this team next or whatever? It's like, yeah.
But
okay,
you're right.
Whatever.
I mean, these aren't, and I say this differently than others, like, oh, these aren't real journalists. Like, I'm not saying it like this, but, you know, Sean Ross Sapp, who we love and is great, and Fightful is doing so awesome as far as a wrestling content creating website and YouTube channel and all this stuff. And I love what they do. You may not. I don't want to speak for you.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm still in the family at Fightful from time to time. I'm on reserve. And we both, just to give everybody clarity, we both were two of the first hires over there doing post shows for them. So I mean, we both of us love Sean Ross Sapp,
and there's a reason why we did it. Like, you know, I did shows with Sean at Wrestling Inc. when he was still there, and like, yeah, but he's an entertainment reporter, he's an entertainment journalist, if you want to say the word journalist, but he's a content creator. He's making content out of what's happening in the wrestling world, which is great, and he's providing a service for people to know what's going on, which is awesome. But I think people think that, you know, a wrestling journalist, if you will, has to be, you know, digging deep into stories to get their content. No, they're doing what allows them to be a content creator in the space. And that goes back to your point, too, that, yeah, you don't want to lose as much access as you might be given because you ask a question that's serious. Leave it to the reporters. But there are people out there that consider themselves like real, I'm going to get to the bottom of the story reporting. Mm-hmm. And there were some that were in that room and they don't. And the first question, man, the first question after that diatribe shouldn't even be a follow-up to Punk. It shouldn't be a different question of CM Punk. It should be, Tony, you were there for that. Are your leaders incompetent? Are you incompetent? Or do you feel that you've done a bad job hiring the leaders you have, if this is the way talent feels about them? Does the majority of the talent in the locker room feel the same way about the leaders in the company? And if, you know, if the answer is, I don't know, or I don't believe so, are you calling CM Punk a liar? Are you just all the questions that some might say, oh, well, those are gotcha, and this isn't what this press conference is supposed to be. It's supposed to be just about celebrating the All Out show. Well, that went all out the window when the first question answered by CM Punk wasn't about All Out.
Right.
And he wants to bring up backstage stuff into the story. You have the leader of the company there. You have to be asking it.
wrapping up the news portion for the most part, actor Jeremy Allen White of The Bear. If you've seen that on.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hulu or FX, I believe. It's to play Cary Von Erich in The Iron Claw, a movie about the Von Erichs, starring also Zac Efron as Kevin Von Erich. Have you watched The Bear? You are a fan of prestige television, Mr. McCarron.
I am, and I think it's a show that I want to watch, and I like the FX shows. Like, Dave is one of my favorite show.
Right.
But no, I have not started The Bear. It's interesting to me that you went with him first instead of Zac Efron. To me, Zac Efron's the star there, so maybe I'm out of touch.
Jeremy Allen White is on the come in terms of being hot a commodity because of this Bear show, to the point where he's actually overshadowed Efron, who was the main line who got producing.
What's this guy's name again?
Jeremy Allen White.
All right. So I make sure everyone, when you are transcribing this show, Jeremy Allen White. So Jaw, I'm going to call him Jaw. Jeremy Allen White is on the come .. He's hot is what Jeff said. Just make sure.
Well,
you are,
I mean,
aware.
The show is just it's in terms of in Hollywood.
I hear people
circles.
Talking about it. I hear people talking.
Yeah,
what day is it on? What day does it come out on? Because it's on FX, right? It's on FX on Hulu.
I believe so. Yeah, and so I believe it's all on there. The first season and the second season hasn't started yet.
Yeah, so you can watch it. If it's like on a Wednesday night, obviously you gotta manage your time wisely. But yeah, you go watch it on Hulu. Get the old Disney Plus bundle. Watch it on Hulu with all of your other Hulu favorites. Handmaid's Tale is back. But yeah, I think the Bear is a show that I want to watch at some point. I just have not gotten to it yet. The Iron Claw, it's interesting making more movies about the Von Erichs.
That's a feel-good story, isn't it?
Is it? No, it's not a feel-good. I believe all of them are
Disney will make it a musical. They'll have a couple of singing animals telling you about the value of friendship.
Oh, no,
it's left out.
It's absolutely terrible. It's no good. It's a story that also, by the way, like even the most recent iteration of this story is at this point, what, 35 years old? Mm-hmm. At this point, 30 years old. And then the heart of it is 40 and 50. It's a really good story for documentarians. It's a really good story for documentary sake, but an entertainment movie out of it? I don't know.
I just
don't know.
Nobody wants to come out of the theater feeling depressed.
I'm also like anyone who's wanted to know the story. This has got to be a movie. It's Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White. Did I get that right? Oh my gosh,
yes,
if
you
I
got
did.
It. You nailed it.
So J.A. and Zac Efron here are in this movie. So you're going for a younger crowd. You want to tell the story to the younger crowd.
Right.
You want to kind of get the shock factor of, oh my God, wrestling in the 70s and 80s. Oh, people were just, people were wrestling with brain injuries and like couldn't do anything. And it's a sad story. So maybe you're going to just retell this to a younger generation. Because
no,
I got to think.
No, it's going to be Fast and Furious because it's about family.
It could be. I mean, I don't know. It's just, What other stories are you telling from the 70s and 80s? Like, because we still have the Hulk Hogan movie with Thor, right?
Yeah,
like
that's eventually on might happen. Yeah,
is it on Netflix already?
Or No. It's in production right now.
If you told me it was on Netflix this whole time, and I was literally going to leave the show right now to go watch it because I cannot wait. I mean, I saw the newest Thor, and this guy got even more jacked than he had already been just to play this Hulk Hogan character. That's one of those stories, but at least Hulk Hogan is still kind of relevant in the mainstream, or at least has been in the last 15 years. I don't know what the audience is. I don't know what the audience is for doing a Cary Von Erich movie.
Yeah.
And I don't, obviously the budget is something.
They
want to see the guy, Zac Efron.
They want to see the beefcake. They want to see the guy shirtless. That's all. And you got to get that in the
trailer.
Just
see the guy shirtless. Okay. I mean, just make another Baywatch then, Zach.
That's what
I mean,
I'm thinking.
Yeah. What do you do? All right, so we're advocating for Baywatch 2 is what
electric
we're doing
boogaloo.
Right now.
It has to be Baywatch 2 Electric Boogaloo. That has to be the name of it.
I just can't imagine, like, what other stories are you telling from the 70s and 80s that would be worth it? Because obviously they're telling ones that may not be worth it. So anything is possible at this point. Should we tell an entertainment forum the life of, like, the Fabulous Freebirds? I mean, is that what we're doing next? Like, who is famous enough? Because even the Von Erichs weren't famous enough. In the whole country, they just weren't.
Yeah, they're central to Texas mostly, and that was it. Yeah, I agree.
I get a lot of vibes. I don't know where I might be going with this. It might be nowhere, but talking about the 70s and 80s and like all the tag teams that were out there with the Rock and Roll Express and the Andersons is like, I am getting that vibe where the matches aren't as big and they're not selling out arenas and they're not the main events on these shows. But the tag team scene right now is like very similar with who's kind of on top and who's big in these industries. And it leads me in, and maybe this is an FTR thing.
Actually,
maybe
no,
FTR
this is leading to our
everyone.
Lazy River anyways. I'm skipping the ratings talk because ratings are boring. So we'll go into this. Go ahead.
You know what? Jonathan Snowden on Twitter is absolutely right when it comes to ratings. Like, if we're not in advertising, what does it matter to us about right. the ratings? It's an indicator of, okay, who else is watching and what's hot, because maybe I should determine what I'm watching by what's hot and what's popular. But, like, outside of that, like, just watch what you like. And let the business guys figure out what they should be doing for the ratings, because we don't have the answers. We don't have the ideas.
Tell us about tag team wrestling, Rob.
I mean, I'm into it. I'm into everything FTR is doing.
I am too.
It's very interesting that they're not in the AEW tag title scene, but they're also like the most important tag team in the company. So that mm-hmm. that just goes back to the conversation about championships and why is the AEW one important when really the ROH and the AAA and the IWGP are the important ones right now, because that's FTR who has it. With Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, Keith Lee was so exciting when he came in and like all the possibilities and like, here's this big dude. And there's not a lot of huge dudes in the company. Like, who is he going to wrestle? Cause it's going to look funny for him to be in the ring with Adam Cole. And I am not a like big guy should be pushed more. I'm not that. Cause I love Adam Cole. Bryan Danielson, who's like the second biggest guy in the company, not talent and popularity, like frame. Daniel Bryan is huge. Bryan Danielson is huge compared to some of the folks that are in ROH and AEW, but Adam Cole's great. Keith Lee is just huge. It's so weird. Like him, Morrissey now, who's in the company.
Hobbs.
Wardlow is like John Cena size. Like yeah. He's not going to pop off the screen if he was in the ring with some of the guys in WWE or Keith Lee or Morrissey and all the Hobbs. Hobbs is a good example. He's a big stocky guy. Like Hobbs is great. These guys are great, but there's not a lot of them in AEW. There's just not a ton of them in AEW. So it's so interesting with what Keith Lee was going to come in and do. And then you put him in a tag team. Okay. Tag team wrestling. There's a lot you can do. And the differences aren't that in your face, but every time they're in the ring, it was the case this week on Dynamite with the Lucha Brothers. It's the case if you put him in there with FTR, which obviously FTR is being kept away kind of from everybody in the actual tag team scene because they're their own thing right now. It's the case with the Acclaimed. Is like every time Keith Lee and Swerve are in the ring, and it's not a heel or babyface thing, it's just like, this is the team that should beat Swerve in Our Glory. They should lose to the Acclaimed. Acclaimed's hotter. They should lose to FTR. FTR's hotter. They should lose to the Lucha Brothers. Lucha Brothers are hotter. like everyone's hotter than Keith Lee.
But
and
that's
Swerve
a good
right
place
now.
To be as champions as well, because that draws money. Because it's going to be like, this is the time that they're going to lose this because they're not as good of a team. They're not as hot. They're not. The
but
hot
isn't that? Head. Wouldn't that the case? You want them to be bad guys? Wouldn't you want? And Swerve kind of.
They're
is.
Close. I mean, they're very close. I mean, if you watched All Out, they were working heel. Both of them.
They were. And then Swerve comes out the
and
next
Swerve
night and cuts off the Acclaim's
heel.
Entrance. And they'll be mega heels on next week's Dynamite in Arthur Ashe. They'll be mega heels. That's yes. great. And if that's the way you want to go and they're going to be the heel tag team and you're really waiting for an established tag team to beat them, and maybe that is FTR in the future, okay. But if they keep just doing these 2 or 3 week feuds and they end up on the pay-per-view against the Gun Club, like if that's their next, like it's just not going to work. So I'm waiting to reserve. Like I am waiting to see what happens, but it's getting to the point where I've been waiting to see what happens with them for 2 months now. And so far it's like not working for me for Swerve and Our Glory. And it's nothing really against them. It's just, they're not high. I'm not interested in seeing them in the ring at this point because everyone they're in the ring with is better. And I just don't, the matches are fine.
Oh, the Acclaim's not better. I mean, they over-delivered.
Well,
the
Acclaim's not
match.
Better. I mean, Anthony Bowens is great, and then Max Caster has some work to do, but the character of Max Caster is obviously over.
Right.
And maybe if they win, they're not probably long-term champions. You get the titles off of them to another heel tag team, but is the tag team Swerve in Our Glory? I mean, the Young Bucks being out kind of hurts. I know they were going to be in the trios category anyway. Death Triangle is in the trios category, so you're taking some of these teams out into the trios element. I just don't know. Swerve, and maybe I'll be proven wrong or proven different, because I'm not really saying they shouldn't be the tag team champions and they're terrible. It's just not working for me personally. And we'll see what happens at Full Gear. We only got 2 months to go, really, before Full Gear, maybe even less at this point. So we'll find out relatively soon what the story is, whether that's on Wednesday or later.
My turn on the lazy river. Speaking of tag teams, you do not watch SmackDown regularly, but...
Not regularly and 100% no.
But Imperium as a three-man unit is so much better. Ooh, ooh. Much better as a three-person unit than they were with just Kaiser and Gunther, the former Walter. I love the former Fabian Aichner, now known as Giovanni Vinci. I think they bring a certain energy to it. I love that team. I am here for them versus the Street Profits every day and twice on Sunday when they have their big match. And this feud with the Brawling Brutes. Look, I love Pete Dunne. Sheamus is born again hard. That match at Clash at the Castle was so good that these two had.
It was so good. And not only that, but the reaction just for Ludwig, you know, saying the word Imperium.
Yes.
And I know what happened in Wales, and these guys are Europeans, like all of them. But that's not it. It's just people were excited for the group because instead of Ludwig being a speaking, just a face for Gunther, like now you have a trio. Now you have Gunther, who's the hop. You get the tag team. You get the whole group dynamic. You can do these trios. I look back to when, you know, the Wyatt family was around and you had Evolution and you were having banger six-man tags on like Raw every week and on pay-per-views. Six-man tags are great. Like AEW probably overdoes them a little bit.
Go out of your way to watch the one last week from Friday between the Brawling Brutes and Imperium. It is really, really good. Yeah.
No, I did watch that because I'm in on, there's a few things on SmackDown I'm really in on. And sometimes I just think that if all this roster was all combined and you had Raw and SmackDown, like it might be better right now. Maybe the brand split is is something that should also go by the wayside. But
they're not even following. I mean, we had Sonya Deville on Raw this week.
If this is the way they're going to do it and they say they want a brand split, like there's no difference between like a Raw and Nitro, or excuse me, a Nitro and Thunder when, okay, you didn't have the entire group on both shows, but you had some, you had enough connectivity to where it's like, okay, I'm going to watch these shows because I don't know who's going to show up, right? If my favorite guy is Sami Zayn, I might see him on Raw, or I might just see him on SmackDown. It's AEW Rampage and AEW Dynamite, right? You're not seeing the same rosters on both shows anymore. Like right. it's almost completely different rosters, but they might cross shows. If that's the way they're going to do it, I would like, you know, don't talk about brand split. Don't talk about, you know, these guys, this is a SmackDown star on Raw. Just, these are who is showing, this is who's showing up this week. Like you know who you're going to see on a Raw, you know who you're going to see on a SmackDown, but there are going to be bonuses. You might see the Usos on Raw when they weren't supposed to. You might see Sami Zayn. You might see Kevin Owens on SmackDown. Braun Strowman debuts on Raw and then is a SmackDown superstar. Like I'm sure he'll show up.
Kills the tag division. Could not stand that part of it though.
Well, that's the negative of the tag. Like that is more 1990s tag division.
Yes,
right?
That's Vince talking right there.
Just kill it. Although not every, you know, there are certain guys like you can kill the undercard of the tag division if you still have one, two, or three like top tag team names that are you know these are the real tag team threats right now,
right?
But the other they're tag teams, but they're not the real threats. Like you can do away with them. You know that Otis and Chad Gable aren't getting the tag team straps. They're not going to be the highlight of the division lately. Let them get destroyed, that's fine to me. But don't be destroying, you know, the Usos, for example. Don't destroy I mean, who's even second in command right now from the US? The New Day. The New Day is not getting destroyed by these guys, right? So I wasn't as mad at the Braun Strowman debut and killing the tag team division, in quotes.
Well, it was four teams. That was my problem with it. And I think one of them was the Street Profits, if I recall correctly.
Well, the Street Profits are probably...
I think the New Day was in there, too. Yeah, you got.
I think there was a four-way. They just weren't being destroyed by them. Like he was singling out Chad Gable, right? And
yeah,
but there's always cool things you could do with that. Like, okay, they took out Chad Gable. This match gets, but there's three other teams that are still ready to wrestle. Let's finish the match, guys. Let's make it a three-way. If they come out and just say, okay, we're gonna finish the match. It sucks for Chad Gable, but we still need a winner. We still need to determine like who's one of the top teams for a future title shot. Let's continue the match. Small things like that I would think Triple H will do more of, just based on what he's been doing right now. But we'll see. But I do like the shifting of people from brand to brand without bringing attention that it's a brand crossover. Just let guys go where they're gonna go. Make it a meaningful part of the storyline if you do. I like that you have the bridge of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, because anytime they show up on a different show, there's a ready-made story. You don't have to explain why one of these guys is on the show. Right. It's like they're entwined in each other's storyline. Kevin Owens wants to be the champ. Sami Zayn is an honorary Us. Roman Reigns has brought up Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens connections, like show up on each other's show. That's completely fine.
Any subject you want to talk about, this is your turn.
This is my turn on what is being called the lazy river.
The lazy river of wrestling criticism. That's what we call it.
We talked about it. I mean, how crazy is the momentum shift that has seen between AEW and WWE? Because I don't remember like a singular moment, but a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when touring was just getting going again, so I guess it would have been maybe even a year and a couple of months ago, touring was just getting going again, and you would see like empty WWE arenas.
Yes.
Like they were not full. SmackDown's getting 2,000 fans in an 8,000 seat building. You're seeing 35% fulls. The WrestleTix account on Twitter would like show how many are sold versus how many are available. And AEW was doing much smaller arenas, but they were selling out. And so you're getting a perception that, okay, WWE is cold. AEW is pretty hot for the markets, or they're at least running the right markets, but WWE is having trouble selling tickets. And then all of a sudden now, like WWE could put a show anywhere and they're selling out.
I think there's two divergent things here. I think WWE has become definitely more fun without Vince running it. I mean, Pat McAfee, who I think is a joy. I mean, I love him on commentary, and Michael Cole has gotten better as a result of him, but the performers are having fun. They're not going to get screamed at if they go a little bit off script and they want to improvise a little bit. The program feels a little fresher. The matches are a little longer. It's actually hiding a lot of the things that they used to do, because they used to do about like 20 different segments in like one time. And instead they're doing like two segment matches, et cetera. So
And that's going to keep going with the likes of the Matt Riddles on the roster, Johnny Gargano's, like Kevin Owens. You're going to see longer matches just on the face of it, like who's involved and who's there.
And I think in AEW, as a result of the injuries, but also as a result of, say, Cody leaving, which people undervalue in some ways, but I think I think in some ways AEW has become less diverse in terms of what they, it used to be. Okay, we're going to give you a lot of different things from a lot of different styles, and you can be able to do it like a buffet type of thing. But they're scared of their women's division in AEW. You know, the Southern style booking of both Cody and FTR is kind of on the back burner a bit. Although MJF coming in gives me a little bit of hope because that's, you know, it's heavy promo, build feud.
There's a lot of positives. Yeah. You talk about the women's division too. And I just, maybe it's me also, but Toni Storm has not been working for me. There's a lot of positives in that division.
She's not even the focus of the division right now. It's Jamie Hayter. And being on, yeah.
Jade Cargill is getting a lot of time, which is good. Jade Cargill's going to be, if she's not already, like a big star and a big primetime player. I think you have something there in the Britt Baker versus Jamie Hayter. I don't necessarily know if that needs a title. I think if they end up putting the title on one of those two, which is possible, like next week, if they put the title on one of those two, there's less opportunity for the entire women's division now, because you could easily have the feud of Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker and then a Toni Storm title program and a Jade Cargill program, because now you have three ready-made programs for the women's division on television. But a real sign of what you're saying with being afraid of that division, not wanting to put them and highlight them on TV for whatever reasons, most likely it's because they have just so much male talent that I think Tony wants to focus on all of it. If you cut down that by one, and now all of a sudden you just have the AEW women's title and the TBS championship, like that hurts the division, because you know Tony's not going to have on the main shows a third women's program going, right? Just by his history, he's not going to do it. And I definitely see them putting the title on a Jamie Hayter or Britt Baker so that they can condense. Like Tony's thinking in his mind, right, that I have two segments I can get the women on. Do I have Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker with no women's title program, or do I put the women's title on one of them? Now I got both titles on TV.
But they made Toni Storm look bad last night. I mean, that ending segment where Hayter comes down, pulls the chair from Britt, and then hits Toni Storm anyways, preceded by that promo, that match, where Toni Storm's the most unlikable I think she's ever been, and Athena's always unlikable in her promos for some reason. She's just weak at doing babyface promos because she's always kind of doing snarky sarcasm all the time. They don't know how to book a female babyface in this division, and they always go back to Britt.
Oh, absolutely, go back to Britt. But in this case, they're going back to Britt probably to condense how much they have to get on TV. It's a shame because they have a lot of talented women on the roster, a lot more now in the last few months than even 2 years ago. They're building up Penelope Ford for whatever the case may be. Maybe she's a future challenger for Jade. Maybe she's a future challenger for Toni Storm. I would love to see Toni keep the title next week, because they're doing this four-way, and you never know what they have planned. I would love to see Toni keep the title. Let's put some more focus and momentum on her. Let's do Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. Can you keep that going all the way to Full Gear? Maybe. I mean, I could see that being a big match on the Full Gear show. And then you also have a TBS title and AEW title, if not more. I mean, who's to say there aren't other programs that you can put on a Full Gear pay-per-view too, especially now when you have, you know, some top talent on the male side out and maybe not even wrestling on the Full Gear show. Now's the time to focus on the women's division, see what you got, put more emphasis on it on Rampage if you have to. And it's going to be a telltale sign next week. You have 2 hours of Rampage next week. How many women's division matches are on it? Because if it's still just one, that is a major problem.
Yeah, I have one more thing here, and then I'll let you go, because I know you have a heart out here.
I have a heart out watching this exciting Thursday night football game we were talking about, Chiefs and Chargers, that your brother's at.
MJF, this promo. I do a Dynamite show over on Fight Game Media. So the hot takes are there. Mm. But I have this question, because to me, he doesn't feel like a main event babyface. He feels like...
Well, he's not a main event babyface. He's the biggest bad guy on the show. Oh, it should be also noted that next week, I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to let you finish. But to me, Beyonce had the album of the year. I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce should have been able. Anywho,
okay.
Bryan Danielson is a heel. Bryan Danielson is a heel. He's a bad guy. And I think this is going to play into it on Wednesday. John Moxley is a babyface. He comes out of the babyface tunnel. Bryan Danielson came out of the babyface tunnel one time after War Games when he returned. Yes. He came out of the babyface tunnel. He has since gone back. And these things are on purpose, man. These are not accidents. He has since gone back to the heel tunnel. Bryan Danielson might heel out on John Moxley next week.
He might.
And I don't know if the crowd's going to be in favor of one or the other, but Bryan Danielson might heel out a little bit. But that I bring that up to bring this up is MJF comes out of the heel tunnel. He's a heel. People are excited to see him. I'm excited to see what he does on TV, but he's not even supposed to be like this anti-game babyface like a Steve Austin was.
Right.
Like he's a bad guy and he's going to get his comeuppance by somebody.
Is he too Mizzy though? That's my question here, because the crowd interplay is a little bit much, and also he's just doing random screaming at times. Whereas main event heels in the past, like you think Flair, you think, you know, the Horsemen, whatever, they always have the sense of calm and in control, and then the talent or the guy that they're feuding with riles them up and they'll start screaming occasionally here and there, but they're always in control. Here it just seems like MJF on that promo was, if you read the text of it, and if he says it like quietly, it's menacing. Here, he seems almost crazy at times because he's doing just random screaming into the camera. And it looked like that was planned a bit. What did you think of the promo here?
No, I thought I don't think there's been a miss for MJF on AEW TV in the last year. I don't think there's been a miss, but this is who MGF is. He's not secure. He's not calm. This is a guy that hasn't gotten his main event shots. He's not in the Tournament of Champions. He had to do this whole array with the poker chip just so he can kind of get his spot in the top. But he's not a guy who's confident. He may try to come off this way, but deep down, he's not a confident guy. He's not been in the top. He couldn't beat CM Punk. He hasn't beaten John Moxley. Like, he has to cheat to win the Dynamite.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because every promo he does is "you're a fraud, you're a fraud, you're a fraud, you're not like this thing," and it turns out he's the fraud.
Well, I mean, God, there's a big guy that's been running around calling everyone else a fraud for the last 5 years that might pretty much be a big fraud. Frauds call other people frauds because they want to divert attention from themselves. Max Jacob Friedman, MJF, like, he's great on TV. I don't think he needs to be the calm Ric Flair. He's not, he's his own big top heel, but he's not this calm guy who legitimately thinks he's the best. He's not this big guy who legitimately has reason to be the best on the show. He's an insecure little kid who still wants everything, but hasn't earned it and doesn't think he might be able to earn it. So he has to get it in other ways. And his other ways are cheating. His other ways are talking into the main event, like a Conor McGregor. But how do you talk your way and get attention if you're not loud in the camera and in someone's face? You have to be loud in someone's face. You can't just be laid back and hope it comes to you, because it doesn't work.
Right. I just think some of the anger is directed more towards audience than the person he's feuding with. That was all my...
Well, right now, I mean, there's no champion, right? So he doesn't have a protagonist to go against. Well, he doesn't have that person who's the champion. He's going to mock all the people, and he's going to mock John Moxley, who was the last champion before CM Punk.
Okay.
Like, he just doesn't have that one-on-one. He has the crowd who... maybe he thinks in his mind didn't miss him as much as they should have, right? Like, he was gone for 3 months. He's a guy that had to wear a mask to go get that poker chip, because like everything has to go right and people can't know it's me, or else people might be, you know, man, who, maybe Claudio gets up and is more worried about who's in the mask here if he knows it's MJF, and maybe he gets up from his beating and puts a little bit more fight into it. I don't think he has to be Ric Flair. I don't think he has to be anyone. I mean, Steve Austin, when he was mega heel, was in the camera's face, right? Like, he was just yelling at everybody. You know, I think MJF has been a big, huge hit
I love him when he comes out. I was just wondering what is missing in him, and I can't figure it out, because it's
to me what's missing in is he doesn't have, like, right now he does not have something against him,
right?
Because maybe it's going to be John Moxley and you're setting up for that. Maybe it's going to be Daniel. If it's Bryan Danielson, like, MJF doesn't fit in. if Bryan Danielson wins next week, it's him and Moxley for a good bit of time here. I don't see MJF getting the full gear shot. If CM Punk were still around, I think MJF was guaranteed for that full gear title shot and maybe even win it. But right now, I mean, this will play into the character, I'm sure, again. But if Bryan Danielson wins, he doesn't have a shot. He doesn't have that person to go up against. And then who is it? Like, who does he start going up against? Because there's no clear sign of who that would be right now.
Plug your stuff if you wish, Rob.
Let's see. Tomorrow I'll be at work. Saturday I'll be at the lake. You can catch me at the lake. Nice. Sunday's actually open, guys. If you want to book me for my house or for the lake, like, it's open right now. I might go eat in an Applebee's. No, probably not. Right now I don't have anything to plug. This was super fun to come back and talk to you, Jeff, and talk to the millions and millions of Shake Them Ropes listeners that I created and built so that you
and
can
then took with your Twitter
over.
Yeah.
I don't have the Twitter account. You got the Twitter account.
Turned from Rob from
Twitter,
Indiana.
A Twitter account that is losing followers daily.
Yes.
Because I don't really, I mean, God, I just That's I true. Post I post truths, but I post them very infrequently.
You can follow me at Crap Game 13. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes, all one word. We are part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. I also do a show over on Fight Game Media, patreon.com/fightgamemedia, the Dynamite show every Wednesday, about 10 to 15 minutes after Dynamite goes off the air, myself and Paul Fontaine giving the hot takes. You get the cold takes. If you want to follow Chris Novembrino at DWATG, that stands for Don't Worry About the Government, you can follow his show, Don't Worry About TV.
What are you following him for right now? He no-showed today. You know, follow him. Traveling. Doesn't he know that, like, computers have microphones? You can do a show from anywhere these days. But I will say, Jeff, you've gotten much better at the plugging than you were a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I used to be bashful about it. Now I'm just a whore.
Is that how Jeremy Allen White comes?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.